Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 446, Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 28, Homecoming.
It aired September 14th, 2002, same day as the last episode, written by Catherine Torpy, directed by Taro Sakamoto.
Is Catherine Torpy new?
No, she wrote, she's written.
She hath wroten
several episode from long ago.
Many moons.
honeymoon. Three's a crowd, looks like, and
oh woof.
The Ancient Warrior, which I think was okay.
I can't believe a woman wrote a story about a woman being a prize.
I feel like she physically wrote the episode, but like the writer's room came up with it and it was just her turn to write one.
Right. Here's the outline. Just fill it in.
And she also wrote let's see, Ancient Warrior, Curse of the Wolf, where Nazor shows up. Just kind of scrolling through, see if she's got any other ones. Oh, she wrote Never Give Up. Ooh, Catherine Torpy, you do not have a great track record.
Uh-oh.
Well, this also seems like it aired as part of a two-parter for the last episode, which was Booty. So, I guess we'll find out if this is Booty Part 2, Tootie, or not. Before we do that, though, Josh, I feel like it is our civic duty to talk about the new Sonic trailer.
Yes. I need to preface this.
Okay, please do. I'm going to take a long sip of tea.
I've watched it a couple times, but it was at work, so I have not watched it with sound yet.
Okay. Do you not have headphones?
I don't bring them to work with me because I don't bring my backpack because I don't have like a place to put it.
Like a locker or like a trustworthy people that you work with?
Here's the cool thing. I have a locker. I was assigned a locker.
Okay. No lock.
I got a post-it note with my name, a locker number, and a combination.
Okay.
But the locker has no lock and someone else's stuff inside of it. And so I I just wiped it from my brain that I even have one.
Okay. Cool job, everybody. I've watched it twice, both times with sound, and Sonic looks very good.
He does look very good, which I'm excited about, but it's like this bittersweet feeling because I'm seeing a lot of tweets of like, look what we did, and I'm just like, oh
yeah. So my main problem with this is that it sets a terrible precedent of like, if fans complain enough, they can change the media, and that's, I don't think you should be able to do that. At the other hand, that other Sonic was ugly as a bowling shoe, and I am glad it's changed. My biggest problem is all the, like, ancient aliens conspiracy theorists coming out the walls to be like, the first trailer was a false flag operation, and it was bad on purpose. And I'm like, no, they made merch and put posters in, like, movie theaters. You don't do that for a prank. Like, you don't do that to drum up publicity. That's not a way to do that. What happened was a bunch of old, out-of-touch studio executives said, focus groups like realistic animals make Sonic realistic. And they did, and then that was approved. And everybody who was working on it was like, I wish we could have just made Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, there were interviews that was like, we weren't happy with what we ended up with.
Yeah, and well, the other thing is I saw this one side-by-side of like all the shots that they didn't just like completely overhaul, because there's like a lot of new stuff in this new trailer.
Yeah.
There's also a point where Sonic is standing on like a mantle doing the like Sega Genesis Sonic.
The like ledge like, balance.
On the ledge balance. It's very good. But all of the shots, this is my favorite thing, all of the shots of side-by-side of like Sonic doing things, because there's not a ton. Every single one of them, new Sonic is very expressive. Old Sonic looks sad to be alive.
Yeah. Please kill me.
He's like, it's better this way for Paper Jam Dipper.
I still hope that there's a special feature on the Blu-ray where I can watch the movie with old Sonic in it.
Honestly, if they wanted to make a lot of money, like no joke, like double the amount of money they would probably make, is you put out your regular Blu-ray and DVDs that are like, here's Sonic, here's the Blu-ray, which has some special features because we forgot how to put those on DVDs apparently. And then here's the special edition Blu-ray exclusive to Walgreens or whatever, where you can watch the first take at the movie.
I will take my first step into a Walgreens.
I will go wherever,
if that's the case.
Wherever they need me to watch it both ways. But it looks good. He's excited. He's like very expressive. The trailer is, I think, a lot better because the song playing isn't Gangsta's Paradise, which is just a truly baffling music decision.
I mean, I can see what they were trying to accomplish with Gangsta's Paradise.
I'm not sure if I can.
I think it's just like an ironic, like a musical dissonance thing they were attempting.
Okay, yeah.
But Sonic is a punky 15-year-old. He's not a gangsta.
Yeah, so they switched it out with a Ramones song.
Yeah, which works a lot better.
It's way better. Is it Blitzkrieg Bop? I can't remember. I think it is.
I didn't watch it with sound on, but I did read, because somebody asked, like, was that the Ramones or a cover of Blitzkrieg Bop? And I was like, I really need to watch this with the sound on.
Yeah, it's oh my, it's so much better. The tone feels like this is just going to be like a fun kind of middle of the road Sonic the Hedgehog movie, but that is way more interesting to me than here's ugly Sonic and his cop friend. Because like the first trailer's like doesn't really tell you anything about like why Sonic and cop friend are friends.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the first trailer, like how it started.
It starts with Gangsta's Paradise starting up as Sonic like laces up his shoes to go running,
but he's like on Earth.
Yeah.
And this one starts with him in Green Hill Zone, which is a much better decision to show, like, hey, look, it's not just Sonic's on Earth. It's like,
yeah,
he's from where Sonic is from.
Sonic Town, yeah. The voiceover starts with him being like, I'm not from Earth, but I came here because, like, I have special powers. I'm assuming his Sonic powers are, like, powered by golden rings or there's something going on, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, so I had to leave to get away from it. And now I'm just kind of like on Earth and I'm kind of bored. And a lot of the first part of the trailer is just like him passing the time on Earth being a super fast hedgehog. Yeah. That looks like Sonic the Hedgehog.
He's like Sonic.
His eyes are still separated, but it looks good.
But they're big and expressive and not tiny and Botoxed.
He's not that kid in the Sonic costume. Just like, herm. Yeah, it's good. It looks good.
I had another thing to say and I forgot it. Oh, well.
I don't know.
I don't know. Either.
My only problem with the trailer is that they say, like, Sonic's like, I would do anything for my friends. And then immediately afterwards, cop friend is like, I would do anything for my friends. And I'm like, pump the brakes.
Stop.
One per trailer. We get it. Friendship is a very cool theme. I'm not gonna argue how cool friendship is for a movie theme. You will never find that argument coming from me. I don't think you need to say it twice, almost back to back in the trailer. That's really my only problem with it.
Yeah. The thing I was gonna say is that there's like a signboard or a cutout, or maybe it was just part of the Japanese trailer, but someone zoomed in on his shoes and they have like a little Puma tag on it, so they are still branded. But it's weird that they would switch shoe brands, because they were Nikes the first time.
Nike probably pulled out after all the bad press.
Oh, it could be.
Which is weird.
And then Puma jumped in because they're going to eat up all that new good press.
Exactly. So I mean, that is kind of weird, because like the movie would have been mostly made by that point, because it was supposed to originally come out this year, right?
It was supposed to be out already. It was supposed to come out on November 8th.
So, yeah, so they pushed it back 3 months to finish. Yeah, they would have been basically at the same place they are now, but with a lot less crunch time. Hopefully, all the animators and the riggers and everybody working on all that stuff that had to completely overhaul the movie, A, got paid well, and B, weren't, like, worked to death, because they did specifically push it back so they could, like, give them, like, time to not have to crunch to death.
Yeah, I did see a tweet from somebody, and take it with a grain of salt, because they were like, I heard it from a friend who's like in the know.
My uncle at Sega told me.
Yeah, but they did say like it wasn't like they were given the extra time and there wasn't really like a crunch or any added pressure. It was just like they did it through regular work days.
Yeah, that's good, Because that's the only part of this that I am like, that's a good precedent to set. Is if you have to push stuff,
yeah,
don't destroy your people working on it.
Now I just hope that everyone goes to see the movie.
I look, honestly, it comes out on Valentine's Day, which is another buck wild decision. But I mean, I'll be there. I got nothing going on.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put in for that day off so Latasha and I can go see it.
You have a nice Valentine's date. Go see Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's all the Sonic talk I think we got for now. We should go watch an episode.
Oh, yeah. We do that here. This isn't a Sonic podcast yet.
Despite what you've heard, this is not a Sonic the Hedgehog podcast. Let's go watch Homecoming.
Wild Time!
And we're back, and we just watched Homecoming, not the Buffy episode.
No.
Almost did for a joke, but I don't have that kind of time. I don't have 45 minutes to throw away for a joke that we would just have to talk about for a little bit and then watch the regular one anyway. HeyJakeandJosh.com. That's our website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes up through InSpace.
Yeah.
We had this talk like 2 days ago, and I don't remember what's up there.
Once the holidays are over and I'm not working my fingers to the bones.
Yes.
Lost Galaxy will find its way up there, but it's just I'm not going to promise anything until January. Right. So
while you're putting Lost Galaxy up, you should probably also just put Lightspeed up too.
Probably.
No, that was 3 ago.
Right.
That was or 2 ago. So that one should still be on the feed. Anyway, we can also go to our classic feeds. More from Great Classics Volume 1 and 2. That's where you can listen to the old ones, but on a podcatcher, and you'll have to download each episode individually.
Yeah, I know there is an issue where episode 15 is actually episode 16. That will be fixed before January, because okay. It is, I just named it the wrong file, so I just have to update that, and then update every post after it.
And then just go in and put a space and delete it for everyone, so it goes better.
Thankfully, I don't have to delete and repost every episode in the first classic feed, so.
Yeah, that would be bad to so
that'll,
do.
That'll just be like a 45-minute fix, quote-unquote quick fix. That I will get to hopefully pretty soon if I haven't already by the time this goes up.
All right. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Lady Alice Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife, Podbay, Podbaby, Podkite. Where they float around. Do they just kind of float around in the sky when where the wind takes them?
Yeah. You have to maintain your focus on it, like you're holding the string of a kite. If you lose focus, it flies away.
Podcast goes away.
And just it slowly over time fades out if you're not listening.
If you're not paying attention, the volume will go in and out as it floats by you. It will be pretty annoying. If you only leave us a rating and review on any of those places, that would help us out a bunch. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeandJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return. You get bonus episodes. You get Ted Chin Jalen Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes. You get early episodes. I've been doing Frankenstein, or Frankencasts, rather. Every, like, 5 episodes, I just put up the bloopers up on Patreon. This episode will have a lot of talk about us fan-casting Tony Hawk bonus characters.
So look forward to that.
So there's some good ones in there. You're gonna want to hear that one. So yeah, go to patreon.com. Help your boys out. Josh, this is a Friday episode.
Right, or a Friday-esque episode, because I've been really not putting them up on time lately, and I'm sorry about that.
Did the 42 did go up, right?
42?
442?
Was that supposed to be the one that went up Monday?
Yeah.
Yeah, it went up this morning.
Okay, cool. You put Kingdom Smarts up?
Kingdom Smarts and Pokemon are all also up.
Okay, sweet.
So we're all caught up on posting now.
To be fair, the Morphin Grid didn't go into the Dropbox until about 1:30 in the afternoon, so it's kind of a sliding scale of who's to blame, really. We do have an email. I'm checking new patrons, see if we got any new pates. We don't.
All right. Well, all that's right. Easy.
Easy. No new patrons. We have an email. I think it is just about the Time Force team up. So it's from James. Hey guys, it's James. Some interesting facts about the team up I found out. First, you may notice there is no Sentai footage as well in this at all. As it turns out, Gal Ranger did not have a versus movie, so there was no footage to use. Second thing you may notice is that the monsters are basically combos of old monsters. Yep. There's a story behind that. While the Gal Ranger did not have verses, they did have a movie, and the plan was to use the org monsters from the movie to be the mute orgs, but they were destroyed in a fire, so they couldn't use them. Hope this helps understand. Great team up, though, wasn't it? It was. It was maybe the best episode of Wild Force.
I don't really think there's a maybe about it.
I mean, definitely so far, according to our list. Who knows if it'll be unseated? I didn't know there was I knew that there were going to be the three orgs. I didn't know they were from like a separate, like a movie. That makes sense that you would have three Greek god orgs in a movie.
Right. And not just like a random 20-minute episode.
Yeah. Seems like you need a little bit more time to flesh that out. But yeah, and then I did know about the fire, which is a real bummer. I hate it when stuff like that happens.
It is, yeah.
Like Rito Revolto, costumes destroyed. Just got completely destroyed. That's why he wasn't turned into a yuppie in the yuppie wave. Because they couldn't. He was falling apart. So that stuff's always a bummer to me.
Sorry about my sniffles. It's like actually cold here.
Yeah, I had to turn the heat on today because it was like 55 in my apartment when I woke up.
Oh, it's like 20s and there's snow outside. So
outside, it's either in the 30s or the 40s. It is not warm, but inside my apartment it was 55. It's 39 degrees right now. There was ice on Scoot's car yesterday when we went to go to work. But yeah, it's like actually cold, and I'm pretty excited about that. I'm wearing socks in my own house right now, so that's how you know it's cold. Also, we found out that we can't have the electric heater in my room that I bought and the electric heater that I have in the living room on at the same time, or else it overloads the breaker for this half of the house, because it just shut off the other day. And we thought the power went out, but it was like 9 p.m., and I was like, why would they turn off the power now? And my neighbors had power. And I was about to go downstairs to be like, hey, what happened? And Scoot's like, my fan is still on in my room. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. This episode was bad, which is why we haven't started talking about it yet.
Yeah.
There's a couple things I really like about the episode. There also is the fact that it hinges mainly on Shayla and a child actor being able to talk to each other in a convincing way.
Yeah, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, I think you can all imagine how that goes. So do you want to just jump right in, Josh?
No.
Well,
yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. We start off with the Duke Orcs introducing Mandalok, the new gross many-mouthed orc to the lair. And they're like, this is the lair. All the rubble is from previous general orcs that Master Orc went ahead and destroyed. So they wouldn't blow his secret. It does not explain why Nazer did not know.
Yeah, that's so weird that the one before Nazer definitely was like, "That's you're not him.
You're not him." And he got murdered for his trouble. But then Nazer's like, nah, I'm cool.
Nazer's like, I'm only nose and ears. I can't see.
You smell the same as the old one.
Shouldn't he even, if Toxica could smell human on him.
Oh, yeah. He should have been like, woo, woof, that is human. You smell like you just washed in human juice.
I hate Nazer.
Yeah, Nazer's pretty bad.
It's a good thing he's in a sphere floating through space.
Right. Right. So then Mandalok is like, well, I'm gonna need some Duke orgs to like carry out my destruction and all that. And Dr. Gingender's like, right here, we're you guys. Look at us. Two Duke orgs, totally good, right here. And Mandalok's like, no, I mean like real Duke orgs that are like good and powerful. And they're like, oh, okay.
That's really sad.
It's mean. It's me to these two.
They freed you.
Yeah.
You dink?
Show some respect. You and your lot of mouths. Here's a cool thing that I do like about... I like the two mouths that like both have brains attached to them, I guess.
So, well, the two mouths that Mandalok talks out of.
That's what I was about to say. I wish every mouth was a different voice.
Yeah.
And they all had different thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, there's the head mouth, like the top one, that's like a lady's voice.
Yeah.
Then there's the chest mouth, which is like a man's voice, but also his whole abdomen is a mouth. And there's a mouth, I guess.
Both of his of their hands,
yeah,
are mouths.
And there's a their whole pelvis is just a big fangy mouth.
Big mouth, a lot of just crotch fangs all over the place. There's also, like I said last time, two little satellite mouths that just pop up out of their shoulders.
They're just mouths on stems.
They're just like, what if Andalites had mouth stalks instead of eye stalks?
It's like every point on their body that bends has teeth.
Yeah. And I wish every single one had a different voice and different thoughts and opinions on things. I think that would get very cacophonous, but I also think it would be very fun. So then Mandalok goes ahead and clears out some rubble with the big blast and sees that there's two Duke Org statues that haven't been destroyed. So frees them. And one of them is Tank Man, and the other one is like a different kind of Turbine Man.
It's a helicopter.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, because his name's like Helios, I think.
Okay, sure.
And Tank Man was like
Artilleros or something like that.
Artillero, yeah, something like that. But he has an attack, or she, I can't really remember, but the chopper monster has like an attack called like Chomper or Chopper Blast or something like that.
Okay. I like the look of these two orgs a lot. Tank Man especially, owns bones.
His horn is the gun, the tank gun.
That's a good call. It's like the barrel. That's very good. We cut from there to a construction site where there's a kid. He goes to steal a donut from the construction men, and he gets caught by one of the Japanese stunt team members who is portraying this. This is my favorite trick of Power Rangers, is that the stunt team does all the like extra work where they have to like be somewhere dangerous or do something that like you might fall down. So like there's just these groups of very athletic looking Japanese men in various professions. These ones are a bunch of construction workers. and they're like, "Hey kid, put that donut down." So he drops all the donuts on the ground and runs away. And he runs around the corner, he bumps right into Cole. And Cole's like, "Whoa, what's up?
Why? What is Cole doing here?"
Just walking around. Just going for a walk, man.
Just walking through a construction site?
Well, he's walking next to a construction site because there's like the fence up. And
That's true.
And the kid comes around it, and that's where he bumps into Cole. Cole's just going to get like a bagel or something.
Just want my bagel and cream, dude.
Oh, my bagel and my creme chest. All right. I don't know if Seattle has any good bagels, but Cole's going to go find out.
Seattle? Oh, no. Yeah, we decided that was Seattle.
Or Portland. To me, I've never been up there, so they're the same city to me. I know they're not. I know they're pretty far away.
Well, they're just a car drive from Silver Hills, though.
Yeah.
I thought we said this was like San Diego.
No, San Diego is Mariner Bay.
Then this is Sacramento.
Maybe.
Or Oakland?
It's not Oakland. Oakland is the Manchester of the Los Angeles area.
Pasadena.
Pasadena is like a suburb.
I think we've gone through this.
We did. I think the episode that just went up, actually, we did talk about this because that's the episode where the Silver Guardians show up. Someone in the Discord's like, "Oh, maybe they were like rented out because there's monsters in a different town." So maybe Turtle Cove just like called up Biolab and was like, "Hey, can we order some Silver Guardians for two episodes?" Before they're like, "No, we got real Power Rangers. You guys go back to being private police somewhere else." That's just a troubling thing.
Or some when else.
I don't know why I did the Bond stance. It's kind of it's my go-to, like, got him. Because James Bond will do that sometimes, except in the first movies where they only used it when he was doing very mundane things like walking to his car or checking his messages. That first Bond movie is a trip. So bumps into Cole. The foreman comes out with some crew members, and they're like, "That kid's been stealing our lunches all week." And Cole's like, "Is this true?" And the kid's like, "I mean, kind of doesn't say anything.
It's not untrue.
I didn't say that, but I'm not going to not say that also. And then the foreman's like, just keep him away from our construction site. We're doing important construction business. And they turn around and they go back. And Cole's like, all right, kid, what's your name? And the kid looks up at a tree that has a kite in it and goes, kite. And Cole's like, what? Sure.
Kite. Why did this happen?
Because the kid is like amnesiac.
Is he?
That's what it seems like to me.
I have a lot of theories about this kid, and I hope we do see him again, because there's still a lot of explaining to do.
I mean, we will get to a point where I go, oh, I think I know exactly who this kid is.
It also happened to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
But right now, he's just like this amnesiac runaway named Kite. Also, it said he's amnesiac in the description of the episode when I paused it. Okay. So, yeah.
I never really got amnesiac as much as just like...
a little liar.
Newly orphaned, homeless, little liar. Yeah.
I think knowing that it said in the description amnesiac, that's kind of like what colored it for me, where I was like, oh, yeah, he just looks around and goes like, oh, my name is Kite. Sure.
I think a lot of it is that Latasha and I have been watching Signs, Deal, Delivered on Hallmark Movies Now.
Sure.
All of those stories are like sad and tragic. And so I was just like, oh, this poor kid lost his parents recently.
Oh, no.
And like can't deal with that. So he just like won't tell people his name and is stealing lunches.
And steal lunches from construction workers. So Cole's like, let's where are your parents? And he's like, nothing. And he's like, what? and Cole's like, okay, well, let's like get you something to eat or like find them or something. And he just kicks Cole in the knee so hard, Cole falls down.
Cole says, where are you from? And Kite says, here. And then kicks him in the shin and runs away. And
this is a very effective shin kick. It works on Cole. It's going to work on a monster in a couple minutes. So he runs away. And before Cole can like chase after him, there's an explosion. And he gets a call saying like, there's monsters downtown. You got to go deal with that. So we cut to Mandalok eating either the wellest done steak ever or a tire.
I think it's a tire steak.
It might be tire steak.
You know how they recycle tires and make mulch?
Yeah.
If you smoosh that together like hamburger, you could make like a Salisbury steak out of
it. Yeah, sure. So he's eating one of those. Let me say that again. So they're eating one of those with a fork and a knife. Like a classy person, like a classy org. They're the new master org, technically, because there's only one general org left.
Yeah.
So they're number one. They got to eat classy steak tires. And the Rangers show up, and the Rangers get beat up by Mandalok. They don't do anything, because the other two show up.
Do they get to Mandalok?
Because the
other two just truck them.
They're at like a cafe, and the Rangers run in, and then they're like, Mandalok! Oh, we're going to kill you because we're Power Rangers. That's what we do. And then Mandalok's like, well, about that. And then the two others jump in and just truck the Rangers. And then Mandalok, like, shoots some blasts or, like, punches one or something. It doesn't really engage with the fight at all.
Yeah. All right.
Then they, like, leave. And we cut back to the Animarium where the Rangers are like, what are we going to do about this? There's new generals and stuff.
They have bruise makeup on.
Yeah, Taylor's got one on her chin. She took one hard on the chin.
I know this wasn't on purpose because I've seen enough Power Rangers to know that they don't keep track of this stuff.
Nah.
But a little later in the episode, her bruise is going to be a little worse. And I mean, they just reapplied the makeup.
Right.
But it's a nice touch.
That is, yeah. Hey, maybe somebody on the show was paying attention.
Maybe.
Because like the thing I like about low budget productions is when there are people that you can clearly tell are still giving it they're all.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, I only have $12 to make this happen, and I am going to make this happen the best that I can.
I'm going
to
stretch these $12 as far as I can. And like, so like the makeup person's like, well, we put the chin, you know, when you got punched, and now it's been like a couple hours, so it's getting a little purpler. So I like that kind of stuff. So then Cole's like, oh, what about Kite? And Taylor's like, what's a who? What? He's like, there was a kid who was down there, like right around where the orgs were. I need to go find him. So Cole leaves. And then we cut to Kite, who's just like in an office park, and the three orgs just walk up, like Mandalok and the two dudes just like walk up, and they're talking about, because apparently people call Mandalok the Devourer of Worlds. Right. Because they hungry.
Well, he ate that steak, and then they beat up the Power Rangers, and instead of killing them, they left.
Yeah.
And Mandalok was like, I'm going to eat some buildings now.
And so I guess they're looking for the tastiest ones. And there's some new tasty buildings in this part of town where the construction site is. That kind of makes sense, actually. Good job, Power Rangers. Oh, real quick.
Is this when they're looking at the map, the Rangers?
That's later. That's okay. That's after this fight. But real quick, so Catherine Torpy wrote this episode. She's credited as Katie Torpy in the episode. Like, when it says, like, written by, it says Katie Torpy.
She was still young when this came out. Right. Now she goes by Catherine.
She's Catherine now.
She's had at least one child.
She's a mom. She has a minivan.
She has a minivan.
She's Catherine.
She can't be Katie anymore.
Can't be running around like a Katie, you know? So the three Dugors are there, and Kite just, like, steps in and is like, you have to go away. You can't eat this part of the town. This is my town. I live here.
He's like, this is my house.
This town is my house, okay?
This is my house.
Speaking of CM Punk coming back, did you see Paige's reaction to it?
I did.
Where the music hits, she's like, is this a rib?
Are you ribbing me?
Are you ribbing me? I love that. And then no actual Phil Brooks came out and did a little twist on a Roddy Piper line. He looks excited to be around pro wrestling again, and that's all I want out of CM Punk.
He got to come out and cut like a tiny baby promo, and he looked very happy to do it.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's not bitter ass baby CM Punk anymore.
I think we've had enough. It's been like 5 years.
It's been a minute.
So
he's probably making a lot of money.
Probably. And I hope this means that AJ Lee can come back to wrestling or just something. Because I want AJ Lee to be able to wrestle real wrestlers. Because none of them were really around when she left.
That's true.
Can you imagine?
She feuded with Caitlyn for a minute.
Like Caitlyn, and then Caitlyn left, and she feuded with like Natalya, who is a robot more than a wrestler. Right.
And then like the Bellas.
Oh my God, she fought the Bellas a million times. And Paige, who was, and like I guess Emma a couple times, because people don't know this, but Paige and Emma really started the women's revolution. They just don't get any credit for it. But like, I just want to watch. Oh, I think Bayley and Sasha and Becky and Charlotte were like coming up. They were definitely in NXT. So I think, I don't know if they ever had any matches. I can't remember. But I would just love to see AJ Lee come back and fight mean teenager Bayley.
Yeah.
Like, I would just, like, really like that. Or, like, have her fight Charlotte, because Charlotte's, like, a foot taller than her. I just miss AJ Lee.
There's just, like, there's a lot of good wrestlers she could fight now.
All of them. Ember Moon. Asuka.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kairi Sane. There's so many. Anyway, so back to Power Rangers.
But we digress.
This episode's going to go real long. We don't get back on
track. I don't have to work today.
Same, but I do have to get to editing, and then AEW is on at some point tonight, so we can't record until 7. So Kite's like, don't eat my house. My house is this whole town. You can't eat it. And then they're like, we're going to eat you because you're a little boy, and we eat babies because we're bad guys. And then Kite kicks a helicopter woman in the shin. And it's 100% effective because it stops them dead in their tracks and then Kite runs away. Then the episode gets a little dumb. I guess.
I mean, this so far, it's like a Power Rangers episode.
Pretty standard. So Cole, they corner all the orcs corner Kite, and Cole like jumps in but doesn't do anything. Like he doesn't like blast or anything. He just like, yeah, stop it. And he's on his motorcycle. And then they just shoot a fireball, and the motorcycle catches on fire and blows up, and Cole blows up off of it.
They shot the fireball at Kite, and Cole, like, intercepted it with the front of his motorcycle.
Okay.
Which caused it to catch on, like, magic fire, because also it's glowing in a way that, like, fire doesn't radiate
should
light.
Should it, usually? Yeah. then it blows up, and Cole's like, oh, Kite, are you okay? And the other Rangers show up, and they're shooting the lasers from the front of their motorcycles. Also, the Wild Force motorcycles look dope as hell.
They're very cool.
I think they are the best looking Power Rangers motorcycles we've ever seen on the show.
Probably, because they don't look like they hinder the actual motorcycle at all.
Right. They don't look like they are like actively less aerodynamic, because they got a big
shark glued shark on the top front. Of it.
Yeah. They're just like, there's an animal head on the front. Other than that, it's a motorcycle. They all look pretty dope. Then the other Rangers also get blown up. At some point, Kite goes like, his bike is destroyed because of me, and then runs away.
It's okay.
And I think the other Rangers get blown up, and then the Duke Orcs just leave again because they're really bad at finishing the job.
They beat him up and just walk off again because, I don't know, Mandalok is too hungry to focus, I guess.
That I can identify with. We've all been there. Then we cut up to the Animarium. This is where they have like a map, and I think they're trying to figure out like where the best buildings to eat are.
I think so. Now I think I get how they came up with where they're going to attack. But at first I was like,
why this time?
Why this corner? Like, because they're just looking at a map and they're like, they're going to eat buildings. This is a map of a city. Which is all buildings.
Mostly entirely buildings.
And Taylor circles this like empty street corner. She's like, they're going there. The other Rangers are like, why? And she's like, because they want to eat new buildings, and these are where the new buildings are.
Yeah. The freshest, tastiest buildings.
I guess I didn't catch that Mandalok doesn't want your stale ass, old, crusty buildings.
No.
He wants those fresh off the oven.
Yeah. Hot out the kitchen. Cole's like, oh, I'm worried about Kite because Kite's always around there and Kite's going to get et up like a little snacky cake. And Shayla's like, don't worry, I'll find Kite. You go deal with the orgs.
It always goes so well when I go down to Earth to do something.
Well, I think everyone can make some assumptions about how well it's going to go when she goes down this time. And they're like, how are you going to find him? And she's like, I know how to find little boys. No thanks, ma'am. What?
Shayla, you're the weirdest softcore Disney princess I've ever seen.
It's so weird. So we cut from there to the Duke Orgs, like, this is a good place, right, Mandalok? And Mandalok's like, yeah, these buildings look wicked tasty. And then the Power Rangers like get the jump on them.
Yeah, they were planning an ambush.
Yeah.
So thank God Taylor was right. They're gonna go to
she's a lieutenant in the Air Force. She's probably got some strategery.
She had to profile these criminals to track their next move. She's very good at it, I guess.
Apparently. So they get the jump on them. It goes well for a minute, because like when they get the jump on the two Dukes, it goes fine, but then Cole and Merrick try to... Oh, at some point, Taylor's also like, Max, call Merrick. We're going to need all hands on deck.
And Max like walks off and calls Merrick on the phone. And it's just super weird to me that Max did it.
Max is he's the one who calls people. He's the call. That's his job on the team.
But Merrick is so anti-team, and there's really only one person on the team who has reached out to him at all. And so I think Alyssa should be the one that calls him if you want him to answer the phone.
Well, he does end up answering.
Because if it says Max on my caller ID, I'm letting that go to voicemail.
Me too. And I don't have my voicemail show set up, so got him. So while they're fighting the two Duke Orgs, they end up like they wrap one up in a chain, and like
cut a tread off of Tank Man and then wrap Chopper Man up in that.
Okay, yes, that makes sense, because later on I was like, what's going on here? I thought Tank Man did not have helicopter blades. That makes sense. That it was wrapped up in him. So then Merrick and Cole jump Mandalok, who just grabs him and throws him. He's like, I'm the general orc. I'm very powerful. You're not going to trick me by jumping at me front first. Like, probably not the best way to do it. And then we cut to Shayla. We cut from this fight to Shayla in the construction site with, like, a picnic basket. And she's like, And she pulls out the nastiest looking... cold spaghetti.
This is Alyssa's homemade spaghetti, and it smells so good that Mandalok can smell it from the other side of the construction site.
She's like, this spaghetti's so good smelling. And then she pulls out a nasty looking sandwich.
This sandwich, okay, here's the sandwich. It's this big, stale, bulky roll.
It's like a big brioche roll.
And all that's on it is a slice of like yellow American cheese, one of those like Vlasic sandwich pickle slices and a slice of tomato, and that's it.
And she's like, doesn't
this sandwich
doesn't this cold sandwich smell so good? And then the kid starts walking up, and he's like, he's about to steal the sketti, and she's like, oh, hello there. And he's like, get out of my house! And she doesn't say or do anything.
It's so funny because she's like, would you like some food? And he's like, go away. I don't want you in my house anymore.
And she I live here.
She turns her head and looks away like, you've made me sad, little boy.
And he's like, I'm sorry for yelling at you. I apologize if I hurt your feeling. The kid's not good at acting, and neither is Shayla. And so it's just, it's like watching a middle school play, and it's pretty bad.
Here's what I thought was going to happen. I did not notice the picnic basket right away.
Yeah.
She's walking through the construction site, and at one point we see Kite's shadow because he like peeks up over those big concrete pipes that there's always at a construction site. I don't know what they do.
You put them in the ground for support?
Is that like where you put the sewer pipes?
Maybe. Maybe.
I don't know. But they're always at a construction site. You can build them in Animal Crossing if you want. If you want your town to have an in progress feel to it.
I don't. I want my town to have a done feel to it.
But I for like a split second, I was like, she's gonna sing that damn song.
No!
And instead, she pulled out a pickled tomato sandwich. I don't know if that's better.
It's important to note the pickle is not in the middle. It's like coming out of the corner.
Like there was two pickles on it, but one slipped out the back.
One fell out and is still in the picnic basket. There's just a loose, wet pickle in there next to her Tupperware full of sketti.
Where did Shayla get a Tupperware?
Walmart? I don't know. So that's what's happening with Shayla. He apologizes. Kite apologizes, and she's like, "Would you like some paschetti now?" And he's like, "Yes, I would like a sketti." And then Mandalong shows up and goes, "That sketti smells delicious.
Everybody loves Alyssa's homemade sketti.
I love this cold Tupperware sketti with this with." The sauce is like the thinnest sauce, and it's just sitting on top with like some mushrooms in it.
Yeah.
It looks not great.
You need to heat that sketti up because it's just a block of noodles.
It is a solid 4-pound block of sketti noodles. I have a question. Josh, if you were blindfolded and in front of you were several plates of stuff you couldn't touch, would you be able to smell the paschetti?
If I was made out of only mouths, I don't think so.
How do they smell?
It's magic.
Which mouth is actually a nose?
The two satellite mouths actually have smell in them.
It's just they're actually two nostrils.
Yeah, they just have teeth in them.
They just got teeth because everything's got teeth. Your crotch got teeth, your tootsie's got teeth.
Your knees, that the whatever the reverse of your Achilles tendon is,
the front
that has teeth too.
The front Achilles. So Mandalok shows up and he's like, that sketti smells delish, I'm gonna put it in my mouth, one of them, who knows which one. And then the Rangers, we come back to the Power Rangers, they're like, yeah, Mandalog left. We can finally just take on these two by ourselves. This is going to be great. And then Shayla, like, calls on her little bat necklace, and she's like, Rangers, Mandalog's here. And then they're like, Merrick, you go. Fight him one-on-one. That'll go good for you, I bet. And he's like, okay, Wolf Cycle. And he goes to, like, throw it, but nothing happens. He's like, Wolf Cycle, no? What's going on? So then he just like runs to go to there.
Yeah, he does explicitly state, I can't hear my wolf zord.
Yes. So then we cut back and Mandalok's like, well, I'm going to kill you, Princess Shayla, and shoots a big blast and does hit her with one. Is that later?
Hits, no, he hits Shayla. I think Merrick. Does Merrick grab Kite? No,
I think Merrick.
Shayla tells
blocks
Kite,
this first one, yeah. I think, but I think she gets blasted again later.
I think so, because he takes the first shot, and Shayla's like, Kite, please run away. Yeah, run away from your home.
So they start running away, and Merrick's just there to, like, I guess, get beat up for a while. We cut back to the other Rangers. They finally got the upper hand. So they I think this is when they wrapped the tank tread.
I think so.
Around Helicopter Woman. And it's great because, like, it's blocking all of the propellers from moving. So she's just sitting there like, ah, come on. And then.
Yeah, she just like falls down. And then they're like, yes, we got her.
Yeah, she's like, I'm too heavy. It falls over. And then they like cut Tank Man's horn off, which is pretty raw.
Yeah.
I think we cut back and Shayla gets blasted and like knocked down.
Shayla definitely gets blasted at some point in this sequence of events.
So, like, Merrick missed one, and then just poof, Shayla's, like, nuked. And then we come back to the Rangers. Cole does, like, the Falcon bow shot and kills Helicopter Woman, and then they salad slash Tank Man, and they both die. And Mandalock's like, my dukes! I can smell that they're dead now!
And he runs away.
And he runs away.
I gotta go eat my dukes!
So they're not, might as well. So Mandalock gets there and is like, ah, oh, my dukes, they're dead. And then Tasha and Jindrak show up like, looks like you need some new dukes. What's up?
Or I think he's like, oh no, I need some dukes. And they're just like, yeah, right here. We've been here the whole time.
Hey, here we are. And they're like, whatever. Toxica, make him grow. And she's like, yes, I would love to. And so she grows the two of them.
Yep.
And they grow up. And the Rangers are like, all right, Wild Zords, ascend, descend, come on down. Wild Zords, and nothing. And they're like, ah, beans, what's going on? So we cut back to Merrick and Shayla and Kite.
So this was when I was starting to be like, who is this kid? Can I say my first theory? And I guess this is really the only theory about this kid I have so far.
I only have the one, too, but what is yours?
This is Airtan 2.
Yes, that's exactly what I thought when... Because he says, like, I have to protect the animals, and, like, kind of runs off. Yeah, but, like, not, like, away, just, like, runs towards something.
And he's like, this is my home. And a little bit earlier in the episode, Mandalock, when they're about to eat one of the buildings, is like, oh, a lot has happened. Those humans have built a city on top of Animaria.
Yeah.
So it's like, this kid is the spirit of Animaria.
Yeah.
And also an angel in heaven.
But that the sentence of Power Rangers to die in hell. Who knows? So he runs over and there's these like stone Zord statues. There's like five of them sticking out of the ground. And Shayla's like, oh my God, this is like, these are ancient Zords. And Merrick's like, these were like the last Zords that fought in the Battle of Animaria.
Yeah, they say like this is an ancient burial ground for the fallen from the war.
Yeah. And they find, like, this big plaque, and it's written in, like, ancient word, like, ancient scribbles. And it says, like, it's a very weird, I guess, grave marker, because, like, this is where the animals died fighting for Animaria. It died right here with the Guardians at the end of the fight. It's just, like, weirdly wordy.
Yeah.
And then Merrick's like, these are the ancient Guardians. These are my friend's Zords. And I like that the ancient Guardians also had Zords. It's
weird,
suspiciously
though.
Familiar.
They do look a little familiar, and I'm wondering if they are Zords. Because
what do you mean?
Well, they're gonna come back together and form like a headstone.
They formed the Ninjetti monolith from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie.
So I'm wondering if this is just like a carved, stylized headstone to look like Zords, or if they actually are Zords.
It might be kind of like how the elephant was like. Turned into like a little rock face in the cave.
That could be.
It might be something like that. Or if they're like dead, this might be like the monument that they just have here. But the animal, like all these animals look like the wild Zords, but just like a little different. Like the bison has like spiral horns.
The fangs on what I'm assuming is the lion which is like the top of it when it comes back together.
Yeah.
Are so big that I was like, is that like a walrus zord?
Scoot thought it was a badger at first because it's just the head is sticking out, but the fangs make it look like its hands are sticking out.
And one of them had like...
One was a tiger.
Yeah, maybe.
One was like a, maybe like a torpedo shark.
Maybe it was the bison. It had to have been the bison. But it also had like goat horns.
Yeah, like spiral ibex horns.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what this is. This is my favorite part of the episode because it's like, oh, history stuff. Like, this is neat. But then he's like, the animal stones make me sad. Kite says this. They sound like they are angry. And that's when they're like, this is the last site for the Battle of the Animaria. And then Shayla's like, hey, little boy, do you know anything about these 3,000-year-old stones from when I was alive? And he's like, no.
No, I'm nine.
I'm nine. They make me sad. That's all I know about
these
them.
They're 2,991 years older than me.
So then Shayla's like, please, ancient Zords, let us call the Zords down to fight the bad guys. Please.
And that works. It's yeah, like, it's not a prayer. She's just saying, like, man, we really stop being grumpy, please.
Yeah, like, hey, get over it. Like, I know humans are, like, building on your burial grounds, but, like, bah, whatever. Like, we need to use our other Zords. Because apparently they can block the communication to the Zords. They're the ones making it so the wild Zords can't hear.
I thought Kite was, like, just like, radiating a magic that was like blocking it.
Yeah, I also thought he was like a dead zone.
Yeah.
Like when you're around him, like wild Zords can't talk
but no,
to
it's
each
just,
other or
it's
whatever.
Just the probably the pissy ghosts of the pieces of Animus that
yeah,
are like...
Yeah, I mean, they were best friends with the deer, I bet. So then it turns into this Ninjetti monolith from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie, and then the Zords are summoned. Cole summons the Isis Megazord. They just... It's like bam, 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 murder, murder, murder. Extreme Pele kick, dead. It's so quick.
Yeah, I missed the whole thing. I, like, turned my head to see what Tucker was doing, and I turned back, and they were dead.
It's all it takes.
He was getting up on a table. That's all my new cat does, is get up on tables.
He's just excitable. He's like, he's never been up that high before.
He's been up that high all the time.
Well, maybe this time, it sticks, and you let him stay up there. So, everybody's dead. Then we cut back to Mandalok, who I wrote brags in Earth, and I don't think that's what I meant.
I don't think so. I don't know
I don't
what Mandalok
know what,
does.
I have no idea what Mandalok was doing, but I doubt it. I doubt they were bragging in Earth. What? Anyway.
I don't know. Maybe they were.
Maybe. Then we cut to the end of the episode, not the end, but we cut to like the final scene, and Kite is watching from behind a tree far away at the Power Rangers, and they moved the big like monument memorial thing outside of the town, which seems very disrespectful to up and move
it's
some
like,
graves.
Yeah, we're going to move the monument so they can keep building over the
grave
site.
Yeah, we don't
want to
get in the way of progress, so we're going to put you in the woods. Hope that's cool.
But don't worry. A storybook narrator is going to explain what is happening to us.
Who the fuck is this guy? This PBS-ass voiceover is like, and then the Rangers moved the memorial so that we could still build a build. So fucking Target could have their corporate offices built. Like, it sucks. I hate it. I hate this VO so bad. I think there was VO in like, that's when the episode ends. I think there was VO in like the first episode like this, and we were like, this is weird and out of place. And they're like, what if we wait 28 episodes and bring it back?
I hate when there's a narrator in Power Rangers. It never works because it's, first of all, it's never consistent.
No.
It's always just like a, how do we explain what's happening, even though you can see it? And it's like, I will just have a narrator do it, like a stage play.
Do you know what would have done the same thing is having one of the characters there say, like, good thing we moved this so they can have peace or something like that.
Right.
Like, instead, they're like, let's call George in, have him do freaking narration over this, which we only have done one. It's so weird. If you're not going to do it every episode, just don't do it.
Yeah. And also, don't do it every episode. It's kind of, it's just a hokey thing.
Sometimes voiceover works. Like, Veronica Mars has a lot of voiceover. I think it really works. But My Hero Academia has voiceover. That works. Because it's like,
but let me ask you this. In the case of Veronica Mars, is it like her?
It's Veronica. Yeah.
It's not just a nameless floating voice just saying what's happening while you're watching it happening.
Yeah, if one of the Power Rangers did narration for every episode, that would be okay. If some random voice from beyond is like, boy, the Power Rangers sure are in a pickle in this one. Like, let's say get Waylon Jennings. I don't want to hear some random man do it.
Why couldn't I hate to say it, but why couldn't Shayla do it?
Because I don't think she could carry it. Though it would have given her a lot of practice. Maybe it would have helped. Anyway, Josh, you started. I get to pick the best. First best. I think it's just the ancient guardians had Zords, like the little lore bits that they drip in here.
I mean, there's not really a lot to cling on to in this episode, and so I think just getting that tiny little morsel of lore is the best part of it.
The worst is when Eryutan 2, the Squeakquel, and Shayla have to act at each other.
I don't like that. But I think my worst is the narrator.
That's also fair. Narrator pretty bad. MVP, I'm going to say, is Cole, because when Kite ran around the corner and bumped into him, Cole was like, hey, what's up? Is everything all right? And then the foreman came up and Kite hid behind him. And Cole definitely looked like, hey, I will throw down if I have to. If you're trying to hassle this kid.
Yeah, leave this kid alone. He's mine.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to MVP Cole.
Yeah, same.
All right, now we gotta rank it. I don't think it's going to do particularly well.
I don't think so. It's like kind of a stinker.
So the last episode also kind of a stinker. That episode is currently at number 22. That's Unfinished Business. Way down, 5 from the bottom.
I do think this is better than Unfinished Business.
Is it better than The Wings of Animaria, where the Power Rangers did go to hell?
I don't think it is.
Well, then this two-parter comes in right next to each other. The new number 22, Homecoming.
What's the name of the next episode? I caught the Netflix description, and I just want to talk about it for 1 second.
The next episode, if I still have it up, is The Flute.
It's just The Flute?
The Flute!
Okay, so I read the Netflix description after this one went off, and I think The Flute is going to be a stupid episode, because the description was Merrick and Shayla fight because the flute org disrupts their song, and the flute org also makes the Rangers dance uncontrollably. So I'm very excited to see what happens.
It's going to be bad. Well, tune in for that on Monday. Boy, I'm excited now. I wonder if it's going to be so bad that it goes down to sing-song territory, or if it's going to be so bad that it comes back around and is good.
I hope it breaks through that glass floor and comes back around.
So we will see you on Monday for The Flute. But until then,
may the power protect you. The unlockable characters in the new Tony Hawk?
Burger King.
Yes.